Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Waris-Uddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Waris-Uddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Waris-Uddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه نستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله إلا أنت We begin with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there's nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. All the praise is due to Almighty God, Allah. We ask him for help. We turn to him for forgiveness. We believe and we trust in him, mighty and sublime is he. Glory is to you, O Allah, and to you is the praise, and blessed is your name, and there is none to be worshipped besides you. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum. Let us peace be unto you, the peace that only Almighty God can give. And we welcome you once more to the airways of American Muslim 360 for the broadcast of the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose, a platform upon which we have established a study session of the addresses and lectures of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. We seek to engage the group intellect and to glean from the featured lectures of Imam Muhammad's knowledge, wisdom, logic, and direction for the practical application in our personal and community lives. These sessions are open to all well-meaning human beings. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. And we are grateful for your presence here with us this Saturday morning as we enter into another study session of the addresses and lectures of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi. I want to first share some statements with you from our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
What we are building in the United States of America. I don't know, I can't be. What we are building in the United States of America for our life as Muslims in this country. We are doing it for ourselves, but we are doing it in the spirit of a true Muslim follower of the model man, Muhammad. God wants us to value common origin. It's more important to know that you are human in the mold God creates for you than it is for you to know that you are African, because you were first in the mold of human before you were in the mold of African. He was born of a woman. She had to change his diapers or wipe up behind him the spills that he left. I don't know, I can't be my God. My God is the God of the heavens and the earth, who created everything and never existed in any situation that made him dependent or weak or helpless. We are peacemakers. Our model, the Prophet Muhammad, the peacemaker. We should be liberators. We should be championing the cause of freedom of religion. It is God that has put you on solid foundations. Foundations that your own life, your own natural life is asking for. It's asking for, because God made your life to ask for these things. God has driven us to come and embrace the great design of us that he is on. God wants us to see ourselves not as Negroes, not as black people. God wants us to see ourselves as the Khalifa that he created.
Alhamdulillah, some encouraging words from our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. Praise be to Almighty God. As we begin this study session of the addresses of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, I want to share an address with you. I only have, I think it's the part two of this address. No, wait a minute. Okay, I'm seeing more parts to it. Okay, yes. Okay, part one, the memoirs of D. Muhammad at the Felt Farm in New York. Praise be to Allah. So we shall begin this address. Hold on, please. Okay. All right. I'm seeing quite a few parts here. Praise be to Allah. So we begin this study session with Allah's name, Bismillah. And this is part one. Imam Wazir D. Muhammad at the Felt Farm in New York.
As a business man, that's a different man. A man that we all know, or a man that only have given our 100% support in the great endeavor to spread the religion of Islam all over the world. We thank Allah, our beloved leader and teacher, the Honorable Muhammad, Muhammad, as I'm bringing before you now, our leader and your leader, our teacher and your teacher, the Honorable
trip, I kept in touch with you, my letter. I will just write something to the believers. And each day almost, on the, of the fifth, I wrote something from, to the believers. So after maybe a week or so, or a few weeks, before conducting time, I'm sure, we're going to have these writings printed up so you can get your message or your letter that I was writing. We wore these shoes on the trip, and if we hadn't bought some shoes like those shoes, I think that would be a hard, very hard trip. So we were in the back part of the country a lot, around hilly places, walking in the fields and whatnot. We had to climb ancient ruins, the pyramids of the Maya, ancient Maya Indians in South America, I mean in Mexico, pardon me, and we had a lot of hill climbing to do and whatnot. So if I hadn't had things like that, I think I would have thought that just terminated the trip short of the time that we had planned to spend out. Now these shoes, you know, they call them horse shoes. The only thing I don't like about them, they're ugly, you know. But if you put up with the way they look for my sake, I'll be all right. So that's all a man put on pretty shoes so that others will accept the way he looks, you know. When we go home, we satisfy the wear slippers or go bathing. But when others come in the house, you have to put on something that you think they would accept. So if you accept these clogs I'm wearing here, then I'll be all right. Get on with you, brother. They have amazing shoes, earth shoes. And the only earth shoe over here is the shoe that goes earth shoe. That's your foot. That's the earth shoe. But not your foot. That's your originated design and made for us. Why would it go to earth shoe? Because it doesn't break down on the earth. All these other shoes, the earth ran out. If you were allowed me originally for us, you could walk and walk and walk and the sun would never go in the sun.
Talking here this afternoon.
I've already told you that. I didn't come to see you, and I'm not talking to you. So what I say hurts you is not my fault. It's your fault for where you, for being where you don't want to be. I'm here, brothers and sisters, to teach this mission, this message, without having the burden on my mind of trying to sacrifice or trying to reach first time while I'm trying to also simplify and continue to reach you with the message of the lost foundation of Islam in America. It is necessary for us to come together and have a family discussion sometimes. It's necessary for us to talk in privacy sometimes. I'm not here to bring out things that I'm ashamed to bring out in the public, or to attack anybody, or to hurt anyone. I'm here to help raise the light that is in us and beautify our people with that wisdom that Almighty God has blessed us with, that will raise our light and beautify us. I'd like to begin by reading some notes that I wrote, that the author wrote down. I wrote these things down as a kind of introduction, thus far into our talk this afternoon. We together, you and me, by Allah's guidance, we did the so-called impossible. We convinced nations that we so-called leaders of the lost foundation of Islam in America, formed under the leadership of Ahmadinejad Muhammad, may peace be on him, that we, the rivals, are no more mentally made and formed children of our once slave masters. We proved that for the new Muslims in America, the days of need for baby bottles and pacifiers of the black and Caucasian mind is over. No longer do we put our trust in the shelter and in the parental guidance, which has been used by the black and Caucasian world for over 3 centuries, to keep so-called Negroes religiously blind, mentally deaf or dead, divinely and socially dumb. We have proven to the world that we don't need you anymore. How have we proven this? We have proven it by doing what I call, and I repeat, the impossible. We have a history, a record, a reputation, a name for those people that could follow our own leadership. We are the victims that can only follow outside leadership. It can be an Asian, it can be African, but not football Negro. We just can't follow that kind of leadership. Now you may say, well, we follow Marcus Garvey. No, you didn't. A very few of us followed Marcus Garvey. The great majority would not accept him and would not respect him. You might say, well, we follow Master Elijah Muhammad. You might say we follow Frederick Douglass. Booker T. Washington. You have followed any of those men. You follow what those men presented to you from other than yourself. And you only accept that those men because you felt and you saw that those men were not the inventors, they were not the establishers of what was being presented to you, but those men had gotten what they were presenting from other religions. And for this reason, you could accept that. Marcus Garvey spoke unity, he preached unity, he preached blackness, he preached the dignity of so-called American Negroes and black people all over the world. But when he preached this, we didn't listen except but a very few. Marcus Garvey passed away, and when he was out of our midst, they were troubled. The people were scattered. There was no strong leadership anymore. Why? Because the people had accepted Africanism. And Marcus Garvey was a Jamaican. Now, his successors, so-called American Negroes, they are very like Jamaicans, and they are approaching us now, and we can see little. Before we saw Jamaican and Africanism. But now we see niggers and we don't accept niggers. So it's a lesson also. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. Brother and sister, long before Marcus died, there were many men who stood up and spoke some truth. But because they spoke with their own minds and didn't have a Caucasian picture behind them, or a foreign picture behind them, for you to back him up, we didn't hear him. I've read the writings of some of our people that preaching 100 years ago that are so beautiful, so truthful, so right. So original that honest to goodness, the man is preaching sound to me just like a piece of Jeremiah, an idea, a thing out of the Old Testament, no, a book out of the Old Testament. But we didn't win. Why? Because he was speaking with our looks. And he didn't have anything to listen to but himself, and that's me. I don't accept myself. We were given a lesson, weren't we? That's why the writer he's fear now. Because he's a big man. Answer, because the devil taught him to eat the wrong food. What does food mean then? Now I know what you say about me. But you know good and well, you're just fooling yourself and everybody else that listens to you. When I speak to you, I speak to your mind, and your mind recognize that I'm speaking. Jesus is changing everything. The chief minister is a hypocrite. The chief minister is trying to destroy everything that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did. You're trying to get yourself a following. To pay your phone bill. To get you a new car. To put you in a house. You just can't make any progress spiritually, morally, mentally, nor physically. And you want to lie and cheat and lie and pretend to be something you are not. And even distort the truth that I see to get what you want, and it's just a whole thing of material trash.
Thank you, Baba. My name is Brother Heru. My title is Baba.
Let me see. Hold on, please. Let me get it together here. Praise be to Allah. Okay. That was part one. Let's see if I can locate part two. I see it right here. Thank you for your patience. Part two, Imam Wazadi Muhammad at the Felt Farm in New York City.
Let the physicalness of the material mindedness of yesterday and kill our hearts didn't make us inhuman. And we still have the sense to want to get the good things of yesterday, but also the vision and the innocence of heart to not turn away from the good things of today. We should thank Allah and feel sorry for our poor, pitiful brothers and sisters who missed the superior position over us and they never had over nobody else. Missed that superior position over us. Walk up, brother. Get in line. Now, who told you to get up? Where you going, sister? Get back here. You ain't going out of here until we get every penny you got in your purse. I was telling you, I think I'm on TV. If these people don't know what justified this position I took, they can't respect and do justice to the position I've taken. Lock the door, brother. Ain't nobody going out here until we get $5,000. Now, I know a lot of those brothers that did that, they had good hearts. They were trying to build a nation. But thank Allah that he guided me and he blessed you, that he blessed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Sister Clara Muhammad, that he blessed the Muhammad family, and he blessed all of us, Muhammad. He blessed you. With me. Thank you. I'm on, that I've been your representative, that I've been your representative for Islam, for truth, for the world community of Islam, for about 2.5 years now, I'm on. And you heard enough of me to not to listen to negative, evil things said about me. You should know me well enough. Do you think I owe money? So I don't be like to Muhammad, and you have plenty money. And I walked away from him and your money. Why did I do it? I did it because I had to establish my position. That I'm not going to give in to no weaknesses. I'm not going to sympathize with lies and corruption. Even if I have to leave, I don't be like Muhammad. I'm going to leave him to let you know, let the world know. That I don't compromise with lies and foolishness. And let me tell you something. When I left, my father told me, he said, son, you're going to have it hard. So you know, you can't associate with us. You knew the law. I hated that, but I had to accept it. And sure enough, he sure predicted that. I had it hard. I read 1.5 columns until my eyes. I read like I can drink a lot. Trying to find a job. I said, good God Almighty, my father got some connections with the employment department. I can't get me a job. I finally gave up. And I can't get no job. I have to go out and make a job. I got me a bucket and a sweetie, a sponge, and a brush, a scrub brush. And I went knocking on doors. I said, can I wash your windows? Can I wash your walls? Can I wash your carpet? Lady said, what you gonna wash it with? I don't see you with no machine. I said, with this brush, lady. I said, this is how it was done before they made the machine. I said, lady. If you know how to use this brush, you get the best job. I said, it's scientific. I said, if you pick up too much water, you're going to mess the flow up. The dirt will soak up back up into the surface. I said, but if you get the suds just right, and don't dip in the water, dip in the suds. I said, well, lady, you can get the finest job here. I said, it'll be done by hand. This is personalized, sir. Praise to Allah. That woman said, okay. And look here, it took me so long to clean that woman's garment. When I finally got them done, and that woman said, can you clean my furniture? I said, yes. I ended up making $70 on that woman. It took me 1 day and a half. I said, oh, praise to Allah. I ended up getting a job at a hotel, walking all over that window. I wasn't experienced. The man said, look here, you taking chances on, do you have insurance? I said, no, sir. I said, well, I'm all right. I'm out there sitting on the outside, standing out there on the outside of a window ledge, clear stories above the ground. But I'm afraid to lose all I made $45 from that job. Just $45 from my own hotel. Didn't make that much. And me with no equipment, you know the man wasn't going to pay me much. He asked me to do those windows, tint the window. I argued with him until I got 25 cents a window. I had it hard. Like Donald Elijah Muhammad predicted I would. But finally, I got a welding job. I went to welding school. Well, what do you call it? Assistance. Public assistance. I went down to see them about a job and say no job. I told them what my father, they said, well, all your background is in religion, and it isn't. I said, well, I need a job. I said, I can do factory work. There ain't no factory work. Saying, you need more than that with these dependents you got. I said, I can make it. Okay, the man said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We try to get you in the welding school. They got me in the welding school. I took an 8-week welding course. Came out of there, one of the top 3 graduates. I had a reason to work, man. What you talking about? I was going to be, I'm telling you, if I had to take that welding torch, I was going to be a graduate out of that class. The man said, after we graduated, he said, well, we're going to try to get you off in jobs. They told us that we make $4, $4.50, $5. So I said, well, the only thing we can find is a job making $2.50 an hour. Said, will you accept that? I said, yes, sir. You had no alternative. Got a wife at home. And I come to the door and knock on the door. She got her fist balled up. I don't say nothing good. I'm in hell. Double hell. I'm already in the hell. Until I go back on the street. And I think I lost my wife like that. That's right, brother. Think about it. You got a wife that won't let you be lazy and just stay around doing nothing. Like that help save your life, man. Okay, so I went out, got that old piece of job. Luckily, there was a German instructor, a foreman by me, who instructed me in the principles of welding and metal excelling, and that man was really sharp. He made me a good welder. I stayed on that job about 3 years. Got all that experience, left that job and got a job at Bethlehem Steel with insurance. Paid vacation. All kind of employee business. Worked on that job. And it was way off. Sometimes it took me almost 4 hours in the bed, brother, to get there and back. It was cutting my salary because it took me too long to drive there and back. But all praises to Allah, I got a job at Anna Harvester. It's 20 minutes drive away. Start making that big money. Big money to me. Thank you then. Paying my rent, man, and it was how proud I felt. Walk up there and cash my check. One check, take care of the rent and the utility. Get the next one, baby, we're going to live on this one. Get the next one, say, honey, we're going to put something up out of this one. Say, baby, I got a week coming in about 8 months. We're going to take a little vacation. Oh, I start feeling like a big stallion. You know what I mean. And you know what I heard? People of the community were saying, didn't come out of Lost Town Nation this long? The one, he's suffering bad. Hey, he's a bum. He walks around the street looking like a bum. They weren't able to distinguish between a successful working man and a bum. Just because I had on pants and a sports shirt or a work shirt, they thought I was a bum. That bum sometimes. But look how long I had to suffer. For years, I'm telling you, for about 3 years, I had it real hard. Real hard. But Allah blessed me with a good job. And this is how God is. He don't just bless you. He conditioned you so you can benefit from your blessings in many, many ways. I'm telling you, if I was in your place, I would be happy to get a leader like Wallace D. Marlin. Right now, if there's a job to do here, I don't care what it is.
Right.
If we have to wash the seats, wash the floor, wash the building down, I don't care what it is. If it's a job to do, and I don't look poor to make you think I'm poor. Let me tell you something, I ain't poor. I got over $10,000 in the bank. That's my money. I want you to know it. If I wanted diamond rings, I could wear them. I got wealthy people in America and outside of America who told me, look, a man like you, don't you want for anything. If you want something, come and ask for it. Just let us know, and we'll see if you don't have to worry about a thing. If I wanted a Rolls Royce, at every stop I make in the week, a Rolls Royce could be sitting at every stop I make in the week. Have me a diamond suit made. I'm telling you, I know people right now who got billions who will give me a diamond suit if I ask for it. So I don't want to correct that now. These people ain't that big a fool. But if I make them think that I'm going to get this money and use it wisely and as long as even Oliver will use it, I could get enough to get myself a diamond suit. Yes, but I don't want no diamond. You don't see any ring on my finger. I got a watch now, but it's not on my hand. I got some kind of strange remembrance, I guess, of wearing a shackle once upon a time, maybe 200 or 300 years ago. Every time I put a watch or something on, it just irritates my wrist. Some kind of way my ancestor must have spooked me up or something. When I put a tie on my neck, it's okay until I do this. Tighten it up. Once I tighten it up, good God almighty, I got to come out of it.
Turn back to the studio. I want to share with you some important public service announcements. So, if there are those of you that would like to share at this time, I ask that you press 1 on the phone. I will unmute your mic after these timely and important public service announcements. Don't touch that dial. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Hold on, please, one moment. You have to multitask when you're the host on these broadcasts. So I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah. You are listening to Imam Muhammad Speaks at the Felt Forum. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preeta Hadi, director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and host of Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic Radio Station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I will hear you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. I see two hands are raised, and I strongly suggest that if we would bring pen and paper with us, take down notes, and share from what you have gleaned from these addresses and lectures of Imam Wahdati Muhammad. I'm opening up the mic of 706-627, and I ask everyone, please let's stay focused. Let's stay focused on the presentation. Let's let our commentary be associated with the address or lecture that we are sharing with you this morning. I'm opening the mic of 706-627. Assalamu alaikum. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Well, alaikum assalam. Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. May Allah's peace bless upon you this morning. And first, I just want to say I thank Allah much for you being very tolerant and patient and very peaceful in letting everyone know how you feel about Allah, His messenger, and your leadership, Imam Wahdati Muhammad, and our obligation, what we're supposed to do with it. In part one, Imam Muhammad started us off by setting us free by Allah's permission, by telling us that we don't need to be who we were named falsely, who we were given a false nature of our reality and of who we are and what our potential are, when Allah has always kept us free to get back to being what we created to be, and that's Khalifa. And I think we need to be mindful of that, that he always, when he comes on board, he frees the people to listen to their creator and to listen to who they really are as he starts to help, by Allah's permission, free us from the different false identities, false nature, false concepts of this world of the shaitan and those who have fell victim, who have not yet qualified themselves to be free by Allah like he has dealt those of us who he invites to be his servants. So we thank Allah very much for that. We know in part two, again, Imam Muhammad has given us the step-by-step of what it takes to establish the world of the Khalifa, halal. How are we to establish halal in everything about our creation that only does what Allah permits it and guides it to do without a doubt? So we pray a lot as we go along in this study period that we've already been free we're Khalif. And it's a long, tough route to get to because we have to also be the light of this world, of the Quran, the final light that Allah has made clear to us that this is the end of this reality as we bring forth this guidance to ourselves, to our loved ones, and all of humanity. And in closing, we have to remember that none of these names, none of these titles are honorable because we were even Khalifa before we was human. We came down here as Khalifa and became human beings. So again, also, we have to be mindful of one of the most devious trips of the schemes of the Shaitan, and that is how to make us think that the power to do what we want to do is in the hands of the human, so-called human being, and not the Khalifa. Just want to say that. And God bless you at this point. Like I said, you continue to be doing a good job, brother Imam.
Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. And you are Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. Yes. Thank you, my brother, for your commentary. We are going to move forward now. 727-408. Welcome to the Evolution of Evolutionary Thought and Creative Purpose.
Yes, thank you. Martha Nyla Abdullah calling from St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida. And I apologize, my voice is a little raspy this morning. But thank Allah for being here and for being. Greetings of peace to everyone. Welcome to a new day. A new day that we have not been in. And I say that because the days haven't changed, but we're evolving. And thank you, Imam, for the title, Evolution of Revolutionary Thought and Creative Purpose. And that brings us to the action. Imam, when he started out, I heard him say, comfortable shoes. And as he went on to describe other shoes, that told me that whatever we're doing, however we're living, that we want to be in comfort, not in style, just to be in style. And that takes us to our natural position of being connected, being what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to be. Now, you played the pre-recorded about being not being black, not being dar, but being the Khalifa, and coming up. So whatever is coming up from the rear, those coming behind, we are in that line as well. But now we're more or less at the front. And we have to look back over our life. I can look back over my life and ask the question, when I came into a better sense of understanding of myself, am I holding true to seeking comfort over style? And is it contributing to the foundation for any human being to follow? That Khalifa is a following. So anyone following, will they see that in me? Will they see, as the man pointed out, how he worked hard? So anyone looking at him did not, as we looked at him, we could see the example that he was not seeking to have the better things in, I say better, let me change that, to seek to have the flashy things in life just because he could, the others could afford to pay for him. But he learned to work because of the ethics and because of what Almighty God has given to him. So likewise with us and those of us who are in that position to say, stand on the best position, and that is be comfortable with what you say, what you do, what we say, what we do, and live the life that is most accommodating to one who is a servant of Almighty God, because he kept saying, Alhamdulillah, thank Allah, thank Allah, thank Allah. No matter what hardship came upon him, thank Allah. And he said it was a preparation for the real work that he had to do. And likewise with us. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Martha. Alhamdulillah, contribution this morning. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. Yes, ma'am. Is there anyone else that would like to share? We look forward to your contribution in this virtual classroom, this study session of the addresses and lectures of Imam Waqif bin Muhammad Rahim al-Alehi. The Imam began by saying that, he mentioned how beneficial gatherings were among us, that we all gather like family, praise be to Allah. And sometimes we have to have private conversation where the public is not invited, you know, so that we stay in touch with each other and handle very important matters, praise be to Allah. The Imam mentioned how he made a job. That is what the unemployed people of today, you have an intellect, which is a resource, and you have energy. So energy is a resource. And how shall you spend that energy? So we have needs and we have wants. If we begin to fill those needs, food, clothing, shelter, all of that, fund our needs and our wants, then we are doing for ourselves. We are not allowing others to do for us what we can do for ourselves. Praise be to Allah. Yes, the Imam mentioned that he walked away from a promise. This is my terminology, of the lost foundation of Islam. The promise was that you would have plenty of money, good home, and friends in all walk of life. From what the Imam witnessed among the leadership and some followers in the Nation of Islam, he could not tolerate what he saw. You know, prior to Minister Malcolm, the Lost Foundation of Islam was a spiritually based movement. It was a spiritually based movement. After Malcolm's introduction, then, and following the orders of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he told his ministers, get the money. We can't just meet in these small places carrying a Bible and the Quran under our arms. We have to be more beneficial to the people that we are addressing. So the emphasis was placed on material accumulation. Over time, that eclipsed the spiritual position that the followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had from the outset. Over a time, the material seemed to gain more importance than the spiritual. And he could not tolerate that. And he differed concerning the theology. And he could not compromise his principles and walked away and struggled, praise be to Allah, and struggled to establish a life for himself, his wife, and his children. He mentioned how his wife was a motivator for him. His wife was a motivator for him. Even if your wife doesn't say anything, she'll give you a look, you know. She'll give you a look. I need more. There's a certain look that your wife can give you that lets you know that she is motivating you to do more. Praise be to Allah. Wives and children are motivators. They motivate us. And Imam Muhammad went out and he made a job cleaning carpets, washing windows, and through that struggle in time, Allah blessed him with a more solid financial foundation. Praise be to Almighty God. Allah, at first there was toil and struggle. Toil and struggle. Allah says he has created the human being in toil. Toil means work. Toil and struggle. Praise be to Allah. I want to return back to the address. Now, Muhammad, I'm going to open up your mic. Know that I'm under the pressure of the clock, and I want to give as much of this address as possible. I'm opening your mic once more. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for your return. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Just wanted to briefly say that also I agree with you 100%. That's why right now we have to have shura, like Imam said, so we can plan the way to walk away from the stagnation that we are in right now. Because we have all the education.
I can't let that just pass by. I can't. And I love you, Muhammad. But sometimes stagnation means that we are just sitting still. We're not growing. I beg to differ. No doubt about that. We are making great progress. Sometimes we make a national judgment based upon the situation of the local community that we're in. So when you look outside of your front windows, Imam Muhammad said, you should say, I'm responsible for that. So no, we are not stagnant. I have to address that. There are some wonderful things going on. I won't enumerate them, but I could not just let that just seep into our thinking. We are not stagnant. We are growing. We have a wonderful, vibrant community. Yes, sir. Continue, Muhammad, if you will, please.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to, from that correction, inshallah, accept it. But also, what Imam said, we have to go away and understand that we got all the education now. We have grown a lot since, if we remember at that address, how long ago it was, we have grown since then. Like you said, we haven't been stagnant. We are growing. But our material, our physical growth is not at the pace of the way Allah has blessed our intellect and blessed our desire to be more righteous and not just be good or just equal with those who are maybe even against this type of progress of following one God and Prophet Muhammad is his messenger. So I'm saying our children, our grandchildren are ready to walk away from where we are now in this reality and come be the ones who come out of this world, out of this dunya, and start to establish and build what is halal, what Allah has said, and where all in good is accepted and bad is forbidden. We have to put up security. We have to start learning other sciences to be able to protect the refuge that we're going to offer the world. And that's all I'm saying. I agree with you. We have to have shura to make this commitment, assurance to each other as human beings, according to the reality Allah has given us, and how we're going to serve Allah better than what we did when Imam Muhammad made that address then, because that's what he was doing, is pushing us forward, like we are still pushing each other forward. I just wanted to say that.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. Thank you for your encouragement that we are to encourage each other, you know, and move ourselves forward. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Muhammad. And also I want to state that Allah told the angels, I am making a khalifa. I am making a khalifa. And that the human being was, Allah created the human being. But Allah says, I am making a khalifa, one who would be a manager, a custodian for the creation. And we say that the completion of that process of Almighty God, high and praise be He, making a khalifa, that that khalifa was in the person of the Prophet Muhammad. We pray the prayers and the peace upon him. May Allah grant him the highest station in paradise. Prophet Muhammad represents the khalifa. Allah says to us, you will find in Muhammad the best example for any who believe in Almighty God and the last day. So the Prophet Muhammad represents the completion of the khalifa, and we are to study the life of our beloved Prophet Muhammad and emulate his character, emulate his uswa, his character. The Prophet Muhammad was the completion of what Allah was making. I am making a khalifa. So I just wanted to share that with us. Praise be to Allah. We have an example of the khalifa before us. Thank you, Muhammad. And if you would press 1, that will take you out of the queue. And if you have any more statements to make, please press 1, and I will open up your mic immediately, inshallah. So we return back to the address. Imam Muhammad speaks at the Felt Forum.
Amen. My wife looked at me and said, how can you be so peaceful, hearing the things that you hear, knowing the things that you know? I tell her, girl, I said, look at here. I can be sitting on Satan's knees in the depths of hell. But as long as I have to submit the spirit to my God, I ain't going to be in hell. People, submit yourself totally, completely to the will of Almighty God. He's not going to leave you suffering. You may have to sweat sometimes. You may have to wonder how you're going to get there. Your friends might turn their backs on you. Your husband might leave you. But let me tell you something. If you just hold on, God is the compensator. He's going to compensate you so much that you won't even have one sad thought about what happened behind you in the room. God be a fool to choose that is me over the Maker. There's only two real things to choose from in this world, the Maker and the Made, the Creator and the Created. I choose the Creator. And I found it's a wide chart. It pays off. It's an unimaginable dividend. I remember when people used to laugh at me. He's too spiritual. You take your religion too serious. But look at Wallace D. Muhammad now. Oh, my God. I can ride on 747 until their gas run out. My money ain't gonna run out. So God has given me a fountain that keeps pouring. Well, Chief, what do you need us for? Because Allah love you and I have to serve my God. That's why I need you. I don't need you for myself personally. I can go to South Africa tonight. And believe me, in a few months, I'll be comfortable in South Africa. Allah will bless me with people who love the truth and give me friends and all I need for my happiness in South Africa. in that old terrible part of the world. I could go to Asia. I could even go to communist China. Why? Because I was stood up for something that touches the human heart. For my nationality, you know, what I say, everybody recognizes who has an ear to hear. I speak one language, the language of humanity. And God has given me a friend everywhere on this earth. But I choose to stay among you. Why? Because I know, though you are deeper in degree of worldly confusion, of selfish ideas, I know your capacity for health and strong development is larger than that of any people on this earth. I'm investing in a field that's rich in field on earth. Not in material things, but in human sense. In spiritual sense, in a moral sense, in a human sense. This field in America among my Italian people is the richest on the face of the earth. I couldn't go to Mecca and find as much of a future for the building of God's kingdom that I find here among you. Nowhere on this earth is there greater opportunity for the cultivation of the society that Allah wants on this earth than it is right here with you. You accuse me of taking your bean soup away. You accuse me of taking your brown rice away. You accuse me of taking your FOI suit off of you. You here taking your Peruvian fish out of your hand. I didn't do all those things you accused me of. I still love you, and I'm going to stay here and teach you until you chase me out. If you want to chase me out, you go on and do it, but I'm going to stay here with you, and I'm going to tell you that Yaku District is a beautiful myth. I'm going to tell you that you can read out of that myth a lot of significant things. But if you accept that as reality, you are doomed. Your brains will never come to full blossom. You will never be completely free. And if you remember back, you will recall that all of your dignity, with all of your blackness, with all of your science, of your cruise history, etc. Deep rotation of the moon, the cracking, cracking of the atoms, and all of those powerful psychological elements that were in the first resurrection, you were still inferior minded. If we had taken Master Farah's picture and put some black paint on it, and a big fat nose on it, some nappy hair on it, you would have left the temple. I'm telling you the truth. Maybe you were different, but you won among a few that were different. Most of us were trying to look Caucasian while we were preaching that black was God. Brother shaved his head clean because he don't want no nap showing. I don't mean all of you, but a great number of you. keep her head wrapped up so tight. Is she that devoted to the faith? That's because they didn't want no naps to show. Those that went to the hairdresser and got their hair pulled straight. Had those long, pretty girls. All the uncles had to always get sister, cut up that hair. Sister, cut up that hair. You know, we can laugh at it now, can't we? Oh, yeah. We are mighty people. We are great people. We can laugh at things that would kill, cause other people to have a heart attack. If other people would have told on them publicly the things that I tell on you and that you tell on yourself, oh, they would wither away, they would shrivel up like dust, like mold. Disappear somewhere. But we are great people. We are happy to be relieved. We're happy to get the artificial burden off our minds and our hearts. So we can laugh at it. And that's healthy. That's beautiful. That shows that we don't need those artificial things. But if we can't laugh, if we can't relax, if we can't face the fact of what our life was, and maybe some of your life still exists, that means that we are yet a slave of these artificial things. Give love, people. I want to tell you that Almighty God, the God who made the skies and the earth and all between, as the Quran teaches us, is not necessarily on our side. But his will today for us and the world, if you understood it, would make you feel very special. This whole world drifted away from natural life into artificial mentality, artificial humanism. And justify the slave system. Justify reducing Italian people, Afro-American people, black people to a state subhuman. Just wrote us off as people not entitled to be treated as human beings on a plane, on a level of equality with other people. Now, we, the descendants of those people who were treated like that, lynched sometimes for just speaking up as a human being. Lynched for just questioning the inhuman treatment that they received. Now here we, the descendants of those four mistreated slaves, are standing up in America teaching the Caucasian, teaching America, teaching the world how to be real human beings.
Okay. We pause now.
He was one of the most important Muslim leaders in North America, and at one.
Okay, we pause now. I'm moving forward to part three, inshallah. Let me see if I can. Hold on. Okay. Praise be to Allah. I'm grateful for your patience this morning. Praise be to Allah. Okay. Part two. I can't seem to locate part three. But we'll still move on ahead with the address. Inshallah. Okay, I see part five. I see part six. Unfortunately, I don't have the preceding portion of the lecture. But let me share with you what I have. Praise be to Allah. Let me see now. I have part one, and I have part two. The next is part four, five, and six. I hope that we can keep up with it and stay connected with a pattern, praise be to Allah, of this address. I bring in our part five, Imam Wasidi Muhammad, the Felt Farm in New York.
Bad eyes. But thanks be to Almighty God who set the stars in the sky and made the earth what it is and brought about a relationship between heaven and earth to fulfill his plan. All praise is due to that God. But now, here is a man from the box. Here is a man from the people who have been renewed to nothing and emptied completely. Who stand up now before you and can give eyes and hear it and speech and restore the body as it was from the beginning. Not even to do more than that, brother and sister. Restore it in its natural order and then bring it to a more perfected, refined, put refined touches to it. Meet its truths more acute than even Adam's will. Now they say Adam was made perfect by God. But no, Adam was made perfect in his basic nature, in his basic material. But in that basic material, the man had to grow where God wanted him to come. Now God in this day and time has blessed us with the knowledge to bring a man to what God Almighty intended for him to come to at the end of the process. So you're looking for miracles? The greatest miracle ever formed are being formed like this. The lost foundation of Islam in America. He didn't call it a completely new nation of Islam, a creation. He called it something that was here but had been lost. Is that right? Called it something that was once original, that was once true Islam, but had been taken away from it and lost from itself. That's you and me. This lost foundation of Islam now is not lost anymore, it's found. Once we find it, we have to overcome the setback. We have to restore what was taken away. We don't find it as it should be. We find it in the hands of the enemy, and we have to gradually bring it to what it should be. Is that right? Because all Elijah Muhammad says, this is a baby nation. Means that it has to grow up. Can you compare a baby with a grown-up? Can a baby manage in the world like a grown-up kid? So if he said that this was a baby nation, and he never called it grown-up the whole time he lived among us, he always called it a baby nation. Now, if this was a baby nation, then all Elijah Muhammad was taken from us. Then it has to grow up in order to be able to feel as a grown-up with the other grown-ups of the world. Is that right? All praise is due to Allah. We have the power to grow up. Many of you think that by baby nation, he meant new nation. To a baby nation, he meant a new nation. A baby is something new. Well, that's how your mind goes. It is true that in both senses, we are a baby nation, or we were a baby nation. We were new, but also we were baby in understanding. And the Holy Elijah Muhammad means both meanings to Israel. He told us that we are a baby nation. We are a new nation. But he also told us that don't worry about certain things in the teaching. You are a baby nation. My job is only to bring you out of the fire. Isn't that what he said? I have to rescue the child. My job is only to take you out of the fire. You will be taught Islam later. Isn't that what he taught? All right. So he said, when foreign Muslims question him about certain things that he should teach, he said, I am trying to save a baby from the fire. He said, you will have to excuse them. They are babies. He said, we will take care of that later. That after we get them out of the fire, that then we can clean them up and teach them Islam. That's what he taught. I'm trying to help you, brother. The not lost foundation of Islam in America was established for renewal, to be a mission in the world, for the renewal of the world, to renew the old world of Islam. That's what it was established for. But it has not come to that until now. I myself, as a slave servant of Almighty God Allah, has been blessed with the proper understanding and guidance. And I am inviting you to come with me to come to it with me to renew Islam. I'm not asking any of you to come to with me that I'm going to direct you or lead you to Camp World Leadership or Arab World Islamic Preaching. I haven't told you that. I tell you that the Arab world has to look this way.
That's right, sir. That's right.
For understanding. Because they don't have it.
They don't have it. That's right.
Some of you, you've been taught by Arabs. If you think you're strong enough to show off some wisdom, come on up here right now, and I'm not going to treat you as no enemy. I'm going to love you and treat you as a brother. But I'm going to show you in about 5 minutes, no, about 10 seconds. That the master is not across the water. The master is in the United States of America. The master means the one who has mastered his lesson. The one who has mastered the lesson, the one who has mastered the school, not the knowledge that was given to him in the school, he is the master. Well, he is the master. Brothers and sisters,
now that we have discussed a few things, to shine some more light in the dark so that we will be more in the light. As long as we are in part in the dark, we have problems. We have to come completely out into the light.
Okay, I've looked at the studio board, and our brother Muhammad has raised his hand once more. I look forward to hearing from him. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia.
Wa alaikum as-salam, where Imam was giving us an example. All we have to do is look at this year's Eid and see how our righteous dress was, how our outward physical dress was, how our cosmetic dress was. And we will see if we are really following clear guidance from our leadership, or are we following psychedelic steel guidance from our own guidance. And a lot of, Imam Muhammad said also, he started off with this address, freeing us with identity, telling us what we are, our true identity, and for to strive for it. He gave us the insight to how we go about establishing the principles of halal, the life that Allah has created for our creation. And just wanted to say that. So, again, how are we feeding and growing this baby nation that we are? How are we doing it with our children? We have to be mindful of that and ask Allah to help us to teach them halal from the cradle to the grave. Thank you very much. May Allah continue to be successful.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Muhammad. Okay, we have our sister Martha Naila Abdullah. I believe this is her, 727-408. Please share with us,
yes.
If you will.
Yes, yes it is. And praise be to Allah once all the time. Calling from St. Petersburg, Clearwater, Florida. And again, greetings of peace. I can't help but, and this is in no comparison to anyone else, everyone. It is simply my assessing me and my wanting to stay connected to and to continue to be in the mindset of being a true human. And I have to reference where the Imam spoke to humanity, the true human standing up and being that example. And as I reference it for myself, I have to then ask myself certain questions every day. I mean, here I am. The trees are the same. The air is the same. The sky, the moon, the stars, that's all the same. The food, the clothing, it's the same. But the choices that I make and my reactions to certain things, I have to assess. And so the life, the term that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah has given to all of us, a term appointed. So my term appointed cannot be based upon someone else's term appointed. So I have to do what is necessary for me to contribute, to study, to learn, and to contribute to the development of whatever is within the arena that I'm in. And I'm saying it in that way so that I can stay conscious of what I study and how fruitful is it going to be. And that is it, keeping me in alignment with what the Imam was saying. You know, I can't judge myself against him, but I definitely can see him as an example and try to do the best that I can. So alhamdulillah, so everything, take the good in consideration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a lot of good that is operating right now, and I'm attaching myself to that. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Martha. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah, for your contribution this morning. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. I heard Imam Muhammad say that sometimes we want Allah to get into our will. Said, no, but whatever you are involved in, make sure that it is congruent with the will of Almighty God, Allah. So I just felt that that needed to be said. Praise be to Allah. as we move forward to being full human beings. I return back to the lecture, part five, Imam Muhammad speaks at the Felt Forum. Wait a minute, let me take this time to share with you some important public service announcements. Yeah, alhamdulillah, we look forward to everyone, if you would contribute to this study session that we are having now. And we look forward to your contribution. Okay, I see you 321-917. Immediately after this public service announcement, I will open up your mic. I ask everyone now, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Nirmat Shaheed, restorative justice practitioner for the Oakland Unified School District and host on AM 360's The Pearls of Women Quranic Mondays. We're asking you to help us make a difference in the life of a student. We need you to spread the word that CWSC is offering 5 college scholarships in the form of direct financial aid to students who qualify and are graduating from high school this year or current college students. Learn more and apply online today at cwsc.us. But hurry, the deadline for applications is June the 20th. Thank you for helping secure our next generation's intelligentsia. Assalamu alaikum.
Because there is no God but the one God. Bye-bye.
Inshallah, when I grow up, I'm going to join CWSC. I'm going to help remake the world for you and me. I'm going to be part of MCNRD and contribute my talent, my expertise. I'm going to apply for a CWSC scholarship someday in honor of a pioneer. I pray I grew up to be a leader, a strong woman, courageous with no fear. But until that day, I need you to stand in my place and be part of the group intellect until I can join the race. Visit CWSC.us because together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dapreeta Hadi, Director of CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory, with this important update. As a CWSC volunteer in the MCNRD directory, you are one of the most powerful tools to help community development. Our institutions are in need of your time, energy, and expertise to help fulfill the vision. Go to cwsc.us and register today. Your duty awaits your arrival, and we look forward to seeing you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God Allah. We invite everyone, if you would, to register in the Model Community National Resource Directory. Your potential and your energy is definitely needed. I'm opening up the mic of error code 321-917. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the evolution of revolutionary thought and creative purpose. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Well, alaikum assalam to you and the listeners, the Lacey Umar here, Melbourne, Florida. Just calling in and enjoying the wonderful program, and I wanted to share. I have a topic today that is so in tune with what the Imam was talking about with you, your commentary you were making on us being a baby nation developing, develop into a Khalifa. And the statement you made about Allah saying that I am making a Khalifa. And I would point out in that regard, you know, my topic is going to be on say to the believers to only say those things which are best. For Satan wishes to sow discord among you, sow discord among you. So we are admonished to be careful of speech. And this is something that I admonish myself first. This is something I was trying to concentrate on during the month of Ramadan, thinking that we want to work toward this sacred unity that Imam invited us to, in order to have that unity, we're going to have good speech, good talk, say the best things to create the best environment among us. So, and recognize that we have this platform that we can reach the world on, and we want the world to see us in the best form, that we, our Muslim form, the example, model example of Prophet Muhammad, as you mentioned earlier. So just wanted to say that the Imam was elaborating on the potential that's in us as a people, and how valuable and how important it is for us to realize that we have that, and how he wanted to work specifically with us. He said he could have go anywhere, but he knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was working in this community to develop the Khalifa. So I'll just stop there, inshallah. I'm really going to talk about this on my upcoming broadcast this morning after your program, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, Imam, so much for the presentation and the comments you're making in regard to the importance of seeing ourselves in a positive picture and emphasizing that, because we are the best community brought out for the good of humanity. We forbid what is right. We forbid what is wrong and enjoin what is right. And we believe in Allah. Thank you.
Thank you, Imam D. Lacey. Praise be to Allah. And we invite the American Muslim 360 of family, if you would, join us on preparing to make it in the land of plenty following this broadcast. Thank you, Imam DeLacy, for giving us a heads up on the valuable contribution that you will make this morning on preparing to make it in the land of plenty. We thank you for that. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. May Allah continue to bless you and us.
Amen. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Is there anyone else that would like to share? Press one on their phone. I will unmute your mic. We are broadcasting the Imam's address at the Felt Forum in New York. You can tell that this is an early address of his, but it is so pertinent and so valuable even today. Praise be to Allah. So, okay, we'll move forward with the address. The Imam speaks from the Felt Forum in New York.
So now that I have gone over some things, but I am sure that I feel to bring more light. I will now go into another subject to show you even further the mission that we have here today.
The Old Testament of the Bible is called Old Testament. And the New Testament calls the New Testament. When you read the New Testament, you read words and teachings from the Old Testament. Is that right? Even the birth of Jesus is in the Old Testament. For the book says, a child shall be born, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. That's the Old Testament. Is that right? And even before that, we find the role of the Christ in the Old Testament. So everything that you find in the Old Testament is in the New Testament. In the New Testament is in the Old Testament. Why is it called New Testament? Because it is a new expression or a new presentation of the Old. Or we could say that the New Testament is a new interpretation of the Old. Jesus was parable, interpreted the old teaching of the Bible, didn't he? He told them what a neighbor was with a parable. He told them what the good shepherd was. With a parable. Is that right? He wasn't bringing up any new ideas. He was talking about old ideas, but he was using parables to bring them into a better understanding of the old. And Jesus said, I didn't come to change the law. I came to fulfill the law. Which means the old, which is to say, the old law that you know, I haven't come to destroy. I have come to demonstrate to you what it really means. He said the law has become dead letter, meaning that it has lost its meaning. People were reading old laws, but the meanings weren't there anymore. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. That's the Old Testament. Right? The Bible says, thou shalt not lie. That's the Old Testament. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet. Covet. Okay, the Jews were found doing all these things. And yet preaching and standing on the commandments that they received from Moses. So Jesus saw that these were hypocrites. And they were hypocrites because they had gotten out of touch with the real message that was in the original law. It only means that you shouldn't go out here and physically kill somebody. They were permitted to kill that straw of that sheep. They steal that food to eat. Is that right? They were permitted to stone a sinner. Do you know the law of the Old Testament was to stone somebody to death for drinking whiskey? Stone them to death for committing adultery? That's the Old Testament law. Okay, so Jesus thought that these people had drifted away from the true meaning. Therefore, the letter, the written scripture, was nothing but dead letters. They had no effect in the lives of the people. Then Jesus had to come with the New Testament as an interpretation to bring back the original meaning so that people could see what God meant. The worst kind of killing is the killing of righteousness. God said, thou shalt not kill. Don't kill my truth. Don't kill my righteousness. That's what the first commandment was. Yeah. What law you have, don't kill each other. You had that before God sent you in from. A simple tribe coming up out of the jungle. He know he needed protection, so he comes with that law. I don't need no God to speak from the cloud and say, don't kill each other. Men know that killing each other hands down in society. Even primitive society have that much knowledge. God didn't have to speak from the sky and say, don't kill each other physically. Although God says that too. But you didn't need a revelation for that. The revelation is this. Don't kill my truth. Don't kill my image with his righteousness. That's the real murder. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You don't want to have to come to people with a revelation. A man that's got a wife, you don't want no other man messing with him. And a man that's got a clean daughter, he don't want no strangers coming up messing with him. I don't need no God to say don't commit adultery. That man is going to teach. If he get in power, he's going to teach that, hey, don't mess with my daughter, don't touch my wife. Is that right? Don't fornicate with my girl, and don't mess with my wife, don't commit adultery. He'll teach that, I don't need no revelation. But if God says thou shalt not commit adultery, he meant don't you commit any intercourse. Between my body of knowledge and Satan's body of knowledge. Because if you do that, you're going to give birth to mental, moral, and spiritual death. That's the real law against adultery, brothers and sisters. It's the mixing of God's way with the devil's way so that you will use God's beauty and purity as an outside attraction to draw people in to Satan's enslavement.
Yes.
That's the way of the devil.
Yes.
To design something that appears outwardly to be holy and righteous and godly.
Yes.
To attract you to accept and come into it. But on the inside, it's the devil himself.
Yes.
Master Farad Muhammad described that as the grasping of the Caucasian, of the Gentile people. Where is that adultery now? That great adultery that has manifested in its full form on earth. It's in the Trinitarian doctrine. It's in the crucifix. Is in the teaching that you're getting in the churches. That's where it is. If you want to stop adultery, stop that teaching. Well, what about physical adultery? If you do that, you're going to face judgment too. Sooner or later, some man is going to beat your teeth out, castrate you, or some woman going to pour a bucket of hot grits on you. Or maybe a whole lot of people will jump on you and beat your weak little thing of the death. Society will punish you for just going around sneaking in and taking things that don't belong to you without permission of the owner. The real adultery is the adultery that I have explained in the scriptural sense. That's the real serious adultery. Men don't have the wisdom to punish you for that. Almighty God has to return with his life, truth, and judgment. And then he manifests adultery. And that's my job. To show this world where the real adultery is. Where the real murder is. To set it free. So the book, the New Testament, is an interpretation of the Old Testament. And when we read Genesis from beginning to Revelation, from the beginning to the end of the book of Revelation, you see that each book that follows
tries to explain and interpret and bring more meaning out. The last book is called Revelation. Meaning what? Revealing. Revelation means that this is revealing. It shows you the truth of the problem. It shows you the progression, the development from Genesis to Revelation. Genesis gives you something, but what it gives you leads you in the dark. And you find yourself in the light. Then the last book claims to be Revelation. And it is Revelation. But most of the preachers can't have it. Can you handle it, Brother Minister? Every word of it. That's right. Every word of it. You'd be surprised what's in Revelation.
Yeah.
In fact, what I'm teaching you. I've been going to Revelation and showing you nothing.
The
blind teacher. Are you teaching even harder now? Excuse me. That Jesus was a prophet of God and never taught me by the wisdom. I can see him right in the
middle.
That he not only didn't preach to Israel, he commanded them not to Israel.
Oh, my God.
They weren't wise, and they weren't able to defend themselves. They weren't able to overcome Satan and his will. But nevertheless, he had saved some believers in righteousness. Believers who wouldn't accept anymore the angel of the order and leadership. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about the true followers of Jesus. These people, though they were wise enough to overcome his enemy, Satan himself, the blasted lion himself, they weren't able to overcome it. They were babies. But their righteousness was so strong that they refused to accept guidance and leadership from the rich world. These followers, many of them were killed for trying to preach these people. But a few of them survived. And they themselves hid themselves. And when the European so-called leaders of the church called them the wise people of Scripture, to scrutinize Scripture and establish what will be Bible and what will not be Bible, some of those wise followers of Jesus only and will not detect. And as they went about interpolating the scriptures, changing the scriptures, these wise men wrote what they knew the pagan Gentile would accept. But they put it in a secret language that if God would ever open the mind of a man to the knowledge of scripture, he would have in what they had invented or constructed. To the thought of the world, that man will have evidence to condemn. So he came as a thief in the night. He made converts. And they remained here as thieves. And set among the canonizers of the Bible. And while they were pretending to write what they wanted in the right, they were putting in symbolic language, explosive. That wants to get the understanding, you will point out the beast and identify him and condemn him by what he has in his own hand. So God came as a thief in the night. But the book says that he comes when he returns in the cause of heaven. Not on earth, in the cause of heaven. What do we have here? The Lord came in as a thief in the night. He came in hell. Is that right? He came in the world of darkness and corruption, and he reads about secret men until he did his work. Then he went away and waited for the time of the return. And on the return, he comes in the cause of this. Cause means confusion. Confusion where? Confusion in heaven. What is the heaven? The high religious art. Confusion in the heads of the Christian world. Confusion in the heads of the Jewish world. Confusion in the heads of the Islamic world. That's confusion in heaven. Confusion in the Bible. Confusion in the Holy Quran. That's confusion in heaven. That's clouds in heaven. So on his return, he comes to leave clouds. Is that right? So his coming shall be like the brightness of the sun.
So as the sun shines out of the east, or as the lightning flashes out of the east, even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That's the book. So the return of the Christ is the return of light. And this light is to return in the second resurrection, or the second coming of the Christ. It is to return in the cloud of heaven.
Reverend Doctor.
Okay. pause now. I return back to the studio board. And if there is any of you that would like to share from what you heard thus far, I ask that you press 1 on your phone. I will unmute your mic. You're listening to Imam Walter B. Muhammad addressed from the Felt Forum in New York. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. Okay, I see Muhammad has returned. And I see you, Sister Martha, after we hear from Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad.
Wa alaikum assalam. In part 4 and 5, and what we just heard, Imam, in this summary at this point, the Quran is here to purify everything before it, and we know that. And so Imam is letting us know that we should not let Shaitan or the human beings who might be underneath his influence, like we have been and like we are striving every day to stay out from underneath that influence. We do not need to have a fornicated or a mixture identity with the identity of Khalifa, to best of our ability, inshallah, in our prayers to Allah. We have to keep it in the light at a pace that stays in the light, or we will get a stain on the character, the heart, and everything else that we are dealing with to stay free from the blemish of the shaitan. We have learned long time ago in the beginning, especially around about this time of this presentation by Imam Muhammad, the meaning of no compromise, a higher level of fornication and adultery, to where it's clear. We do not compromise what is in the Quran, what is in the life of Prophet Muhammad that can be verified, that's in the Quran, you know, in order for us to do our mission of leading the world back to peace, freedom, justice, equality, and all the things that we're dealing with on this level on earth. And we learned that about 60 years ago. All of us did who first come in there. There is no compromising in deen. One used to be the quotes we used to make all the time, you know. So when we remember these things by listening to the people who heard what Imam is saying right now on this broadcast today, and a lot of us were there then, a lot of us passed on by Allah's permission, may he bless them with the paradise, and a lot of us are still here. So there really is no reason for us to continue to avoid Shura, to keep ourselves in the light of truth, like Prophet Isa promised the people that he had came and offered them the straight way to do so and be led into the final miracle of our reality, the Quran, expressed and lived for our life to go into the next world. So we pray a lot that we remember those things as we listen to and review this mercy that he's given us in the had the opportunity to listen to our leader again and free ourselves from any fears or doubt, that which we know right after you open up that Quran, you are told not to have anymore. Just want to say that.
Okay, thank you, Muhammad. Alhamdulillah, your commentary is greatly appreciated. We move forward. I believe this is Martha Naila Abdullah once more. Assalamu alaikum, Martha. 727-408. Take your phone off of mute.
Did I do it? Am I being heard now?
Yes. Yes, loud and clear.
Okay. All right. My screen went dark on me. Oh, okay. Praise be to Almighty God. Once again, God's peace be upon everyone. Let me say that my first time really hearing the fornication or the adultery, excuse me, the adultery explanation, and I can see the connection now. When whoever is a believer in the one God, and the last day, read Quran, and we read where it references those who are guilty of zina and fornication, but whatever, in the process of the laws that came before, in light of the laws that came before, as the man was pointing out the Old Testament, the New Testament, and then he referenced that the coming of Christ was not coming to present new laws, but to fulfill those that had come before, and using parables to make it clear or gospel. And so as I'm hearing that, and I'm saying, wow, okay. So the adultery, and we know what that is, the adultery, male, female, and the way we were taken, and not to get away from that thinking of, you know, just becoming corrupt, but aligning that back with the Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, who said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that Muhammad was not to be over the affairs of the people. So, and line that up, every individual is to be over their affairs, because we are aligning ourselves with what we study as the truth, and the truth enlightens us, as Imam say, take us from the darkness into the light. So it gives us a clear understanding, and it allows us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us the time and the efforts and the understanding as we pray for that guidance to not commit certain personal, social acts that will cause corruption on the whole. But when we look at Revelation, as he now pointed out, Revelation being the last book in the New Testament, he's saying that Revelation, now we look at the words, the doctrine, the information that came, and concluding it as to say it was revelation from Almighty God, he's saying then that's the adultery from the world that we want to attach ourselves to, the spiritual world. The adultery is to lie on what Almighty God has presented as the truth. And then that is taken over to Shaitan, then becoming the doctrine that we're following. So we think we're following the doctrine that Almighty God revealed. So I praise you to Almighty God for the understanding. It takes it to another level, but we don't want to discard our personal responsibility for societal sake. But we definitely want to understand the revelation and the process of the laws and those laws that govern us. So, alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, Martha. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Yes, I'm grateful that the imam mentioned the great adultery. You know, we've heard this term, unadulterated truth.
Mm-hmm.
Unadulterated truth. That means truth not mixed with falsehood. Unadulterated truth. And as the imam shared with us, the New Testament was a clear commentary on what we call the Old Testament. Jesus said he didn't come to change, but to fulfill, but to fulfill the law. We know the Quran, praise be to Allah, is a correction of the revelation that came before. Is a clearer commentary. It states what is from God and what is not from Almighty God. And that Jesus would come in. Now, when I say Jesus, don't let a physical form enter your mind. I'm talking about a condition of the human being, that he would come in the clouds, in the midst of distracted vision. Allah says to us, in the difficulty is the relief. In the difficulty is the relief. So man must use his thinking to determine what is halal and what is not halal, what is haram. But we are aided by the revelation of the Quran that states clearly what is truth and what is falsehood. Praise be to Allah. The imam mentioned that there's a reformation needed in Islam, needed in the Ummah, that evidently the Ummah went off track, otherwise they would be foremost. They would be foremost today. They would be foremost. They would not be second or third. They would be foremost. So there is a reformation that is needed in Islam. Let me give you an example. There are some Muslims in the Ummah to even look into the Bible. That to even look into, they don't even consider it. But you will get a clearer understanding of what is in the Quran when you know what was revealed in the scriptures that came before. So the idea of rejecting the scriptures that came before goes counter with what Almighty God have suggested to us to do. He said, ask those who received the book before you. Allah says, refer to what was revealed before this Quran. So that is one of the areas that I know in the Ummah that needs correction. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Martha. Praise be to Allah for your contribution. Adultery, to mix truth with falsehood, to mix falsehood with truth. That is the adultery. Allah says, who does a greater wrong than he who invents a lie about God? Praise be to Allah. And the heavens, darkness was in the heavens. That is speaking to the high religious leadership, that they had clouds in the heavens, that their vision was clouded. They was not seeing the pure truth. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. And Jesus challenged them. He challenged the religious leadership of his day. He said to them, why do you question me when you have the book, but you hide it behind your back as if you know it not, as if you know it not? He was speaking to the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leadership at that time. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. Okay, if there is anyone else that would like to share, we ask that you press 1 on your phone. I will unmute your mic as you share what Allah blessed you with from out of this wonderful address. Praise be to Allah. And the imam is right. I mean, we didn't need a revelation from heaven to enforce that, man, you don't mess with my wife. That's a natural, that's a given, you know, or that you don't fornicate with my daughters. That's given. That's in our own nature. So that adultery is on a higher level. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. We're suffering now because of an adulterated truth, an adulterated truth. We associate adultery with intercourse. Look at the word, intercourse. This is an inside job. And there is another course. A course is a way, another way, opposite than the original way. The original course, the original path, intercourse with the word of righteousness and truth. Praise be to Allah, to mix up truth with falsehood. I'm grateful for that higher reading of zina, of adultery. Praise be to Allah. Okay, thank you, Martha. Is there anyone else that would like to share? Let me pause at this time for another public service announcement. Praise be to Allah, you're listening to America Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. And this is the broadcast of the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose. I am your host, Kareem Hamid, along with you this morning as we have entered into another study session of the addresses and lectures of Imam Waraduddin Muhammad. Praise be to Almighty God. So I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Imam Dr. Wazir Ali, and I want to talk to you about something. Something that strikes at the very heart of our families and community life. It's something that can stay hidden in homes and in communities for years, regardless of faith or religion or socioeconomic status. I want to talk to you about domestic abuse, violence against women in general, as well as the broader underlying issue of respect for women that the Me Too movement addresses, and that helped us to see an even deeper and systemic long-standing disrespect of women at many levels of our society, from the stockroom to the boardroom. To see real change, though, is to help move these injustices out of the dark into the light. For that, we're going to need you and me are a We Too movement, in which we say no more. We must be willing to admit that the problem can exist even in your or my community. So talk to your imam and other counselors, hold workshops in your community, invite experts to learn more, and talk about it in individual conversations. We want respect for our mothers, wives, daughters, sisters, and all the women in our society. And that means equal protection and equal respect for their intellect, their work, and their total person. So what are you willing to do? A public service message from the CWSC and AM 360.
So I was telling my brothers, if they ever had daughters, to do certain things with their daughters, that way to just have little daddy-daughter dates and things, and take them on little, have little journeys and take them out to eat and treat them like a young lady and open their, even if they're little, I don't care if they're from 3 to 13, treat them like a woman, open their door for them and hold the door and everything. So that way they will be used to it, because I said one day when they get older, they will look for a husband, and they will be so used to how their dad treated them and how their dad talked to them and told them how they were supposed to be treated, so they won't expect or they won't look for anything less. They will remember, okay, when I get older, and if I will know how my dad treated me, and I will know not to get with anything less, as in if a boy doesn't respect you all the way. You will know what respect feels like, because your dad was the first person to show you how a young lady should be treated.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
And we are back, and I want to invite you, if you would, to connect with us online at am360.org or at 701-719-4197 for quality programming 24 hours daily. We ask you to join us live in the studio by dialing into 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. You can email us at info@cwsc.us or tweet us at @CWS HURAA at CWS Shura. And we invite you to visit the website of our parent company, the Community-Wide Shura Conference Incorporated, at cwsc.us. And as always, we invite you, if you would, to leave a listener comment with us at 910-317-0297. Your voice is protected and your intellect respected. Together, we can remake the world. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. We turn back now to the address. Let me, okay. Let me see now. Okay, praise be to Allah. Let me.
My eyes. But thanks be to Almighty God who set the stars in the sky and made the earth what it is and brought about a relationship between heaven and earth to fulfill his plan. All praise is due to that God that now here is a man from the box.
Wait a minute. Let me, okay. I'm going to parts 5, I believe. Have patience with me, please. Locate the lecture. Okay. All right. We shall begin at part 5, Muhammad, the Imam Walter D. Muhammad at the Felt Farm in New York City.
Bad eyes. But thanks be to Almighty God who set the stars in the sky.
No. No, pardon me. Let me go back. Part 6, I believe. That is where I believe we left off at part 5. Okay, now we're beginning at part 6. Unfortunately, we don't have the other portions of this lecture, but there is so much value in every excerpt that we can glean most value from if we listen and apply it. This is part 6, Imam Walter D. Muhammad at the Felt Farm in New York.
Now, it has come and shall be like the brightness of a sun. For as the sun shines out of the east, or as the lightning flashes out of the east, even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That's the book. So the return of the Christ is a return of light. And that light is to return in the second resurrection, or the second coming of the Christ, it is to return in the clouds of heaven. Confusion won't just be aware. The biggest darkness and the biggest confusion will be in the middle. And that's when he will make his return, in that confusion. And clear up brings light to the world. All right, that's what, exactly what it means. All right, now, let's go on with it. When we look at clouds and study their nature, their formation, we come to this knowledge that is implied. That clouds are water drawn up from the earth by the sun into a fine mist that the eye can hardly see. And this mist is raised high and high by the attraction of the moon sun into the higher regions of the atmosphere. The higher we get from the physical earth in the atmosphere, the colder the region is. Why? Because stone is a good conductor of heat. Stone holds heat very well. So when the sun comes out in the day, it heats the earth. And the earth holds enough heat to keep the lower region warmer than the higher region. So as the mist is drawn up into the colder region, the mist collects together to form what we call raindrops.
If you take those glass out of a refrigerator, you see moisture collect on it. That's because the glass is cold enough to make the mist in the atmosphere collect on the glass. So this is an illustration that is exactly what takes place, of exactly what takes place when it rains. Now, sometimes the contrast between heat and cold is not great enough to bring down rain. So what happens? The originator has designed that clouds are a negative force. Our electricity will move by and in contact with clouds of a positive electricity. And it will bring about a friction in the electricity of these clouds. And what do we have as a result? Lightning. And the lightning will flash and it will be so hot that it will bring the proper contrast in temperature. There will be extreme heat and extreme cold existing together. So that when they rush back together, the moisture of the warm air collects together by meeting with the cold air. And then there is rain. Now I told you that before you listen. The wise people in religion, ancient people, who had the truth as it was originally revealed, they saw in the creation, in the physical creation, signs from God guiding them to the higher, middle, or divine creation. And they thought God put his language for divine development in physical things. He spoke to us through the physical creation. The Holy Quran says that the heavens and the earth are signs. And the word sign is called ayat, which means revelation. There's the sun of the revelation, the moon of the revelation, the stars, the clouds, all of these things are revelation. They even your own self and your own makeup are revelation. You understand?
Yes,
so how did God originally speak to us? With his physical creation. When we lose touch with the message that he gave to us in the physical creation, then we need revelation. Do you understand? All right. The sun stands for the body of truth from Almighty God himself. God's truth is the light of the world. The wisdom from Almighty God is the sun of the world, the real world. When that sun shines down on the moral body of people, water in scripture means the moral body or the moral nature of human beings. Why is water called moral nature? Why does the scripture have water as a word for the moral nature of a people? Because that's the best symbol they could possibly get to describe. Water, if it stays standing still, it will become stagnant, filthy, unfit to drink, unfit to use as a cleaning agent. Is that right? But the river water, it runs. It stays in motion. It has a way of throwing the filth out on the riverbank. Is that right? And rippling through the water and sand so as to purify, to filter and purify the water. So the moving water is clean. The standing water.
I have to make this statement at this time because this has been something that I have a thought on for quite a good while. We know standing water is a swamp area. Standing water is stagnant. It's stagnant. There's a green muck and mire that forms on the surface of the water. It is not good to ingest that water. And all of us are familiar with a prayer that is popular among the Christians that says, "He guideth me beside the still water, and he restores my soul." So that there is an aversion to the still water. It is that he leads me in the still water. He guides me in the still water. No, he guides me beside the still water so that we do not become stagnated like swamp water. That's what I wanted to share. I'm going to return back to the address, and if there's any of you that would like to share, I ask you to press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic and share what Allah has blessed you with from out of this wonderful address from the Felt Forum. Okay, we turn back to part six of this address.
Now, God called his missionary widow because they run miles in the mountain. They rebel against the mountain. They refuse to accept the mountain. And they run down from the mountain and ripple through the communities of the law people.
You understand?
They bring strength, middle rock, from the mountain. Something for economic strength. You understand? But they also bring pure water, something for moral development, to the communities of the people. And they are called with. The standing water grows filthy and stagnant. It can't move the filth out from its body. And it can't ripple over stone and other things to wash away its filth. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I wish you had all understanding. I don't have time to interpret everything I'm saying. But some of the ministers, I believe you understand everything I'm saying. All right. The water ripples through and it cleans itself. Now we have seeds, is that right? You talk about water standing for the moral makeup of people. We have seeds that are salt. And there's an ancient saying in Arabic which goes like this. Which means you will never find seawater that is not salt. So God, so the scripture says, he made the seed. He formed the river and the lake. See, nothing about ponds and standing water. Somebody else formed that. Okay, what does the sea, salt of sea represent? The salt of sea represents that water with divine commandments in it. In our moral makeup, Almighty God has established some moral commandments, some moral law. Is that right? And that's the salt in the water of our moral habits, our moral body. Why is it called salt? People like a little salt, but people don't like a lot of salt. You see? And people don't like to drink seawater. They can't do it. Seawater is not made to drink. Seawater is made to keep out filth and germs. You don't find bacteria growing in the seawater. The seawater is much more cleaner than the lake water. Is that right? You can pollute the sea too. But to leave the sea natural, the sea will be clean and healthy. You can't drink it too salty. But you can eat the meat out of it, it's all right. Is that right? Because the salt is a cleaning agent. The salt is a purifying agent. It keeps the filth out of the sea. So this salt is the moral law that God gave to our moral maker. But we don't like it, especially the individual that has to drink. We like it when somebody else is drinking. But if we have to drink the sea water, we don't get from it.
Is that right? I don't care how good you are. Nobody wants to be attacked. Nobody wants to answer to their own wrong. It hurts. Even the strongest man, he takes it as salt. He takes it, but he takes it as salt. Is that right? That's what the sea was. Now, God, he first formed the sea. We don't read about lakes until we come to Revelation. Now, lake is a sweet water. We drink the water of the lake, we like it. So what does lake represent now in the scripture as water? It represents that moral teaching that has no law in it, Christianity is not based on law. It's based on love. Is that right? Faith and love, not law, say that Jesus did away with the law. Is that not what they teach? Okay, so in the lake is Christianity. Now let's see, where does the beast come in the end of the time? Is he in the sea or is he in the lake? The book says that the beast was in the lake, ruling the world in the lake, and that God turns the lake into a lake of fire. Lake is not clean like the sea, and especially nowhere comes nowhere near being clean like rivers. So in this false, a show of righteousness called the lake, a lake filled with filth and the beast. What is the beast here? His number is 666. His number is 666. What does 6 mean? The earth weighs 6 sectillion tons. The highest physical peak on the earth is approximately 6 miles high. The clouds that rise up from the earth only go up to about 6 miles. We're not talking fire, we're talking religion fire. There's a great difference. All right. David had to contend with a giant, Goliath, who had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot. All right. King Solomon's throne had 6 steps leading up to it. And the taxes that was collected and given to King Solomon in 1 year was 666. I'm giving you the Bible word for word. So what does it mean? Materialism. That's the beast. Now, how has this beast come up into the revelation? How has he gotten himself into the congregation of God? How has he established himself in the moral makeup of the people who say they worship Almighty God? Go ahead. He has done it by taking the soul out of the water. By taking God's commandments, by taking God's righteous discipline out of the congregation, out of the moral makeup of the people, and telling them that they don't have to worry about commandments and laws anymore. We can all say, just believe in Christ.
I must stop here. I'm quite sure that there are some of you that would have some commentary on what was just presented. Praise be to Allah. The beast coming up from out of the lake. The lake representing just a moral nature with no laws, with no laws. Just a good feeling, just a good feeling, but with no intelligent laws to govern our emotional nature and our feelings. You can call yourself Christian, Muslim, Jew, whatever, but that is not congruent. You must keep the commandments. You must keep the prescription that Almighty God has given us. you can't visit gambling casino after leaving church and still call yourself a Christian. You cannot go home and pour you a large glass of whiskey and drink it and imbibe that strong drink while yet calling yourself Christian or Muslim or Jew. You cannot commit sin, still believe that you are in Almighty God's good favor. Just have faith. Just believe. Just have belief. Belief in a pagan concept. Belief in a God other than God. Just have faith in that, and all that you do will be forgiven. You are saved. Go ahead on and live your life. Do whatever you feel like doing. But hold on to the belief that Jesus is God and that he died for your sins and he was resurrected. Do whatever you want to. You are saved. So we see that. We see that. That is as plain as the nose on our faces. Praise be to Allah. A beast came up from out of the lake, the sweet water. You know, if you want to really harm someone, continuously give them sugar. Give them sweetness. Just sugar. Oh, you're just so sweet. You are so lovable. You are so lovable and so kind. Sugar destroys bone. Sugar destroys calcium. You won't be able to stand up straight without the structure of without bone. There must be laws that govern our standing. We are in a days called the standing. And that standing represents proven standards that elevate the life of the human being. And we are being challenged now from powerful people to let go of the standards that have upheld humanity for centuries. This is the day of the standing. Allah says, let there arise from out of you a band of people calling to all that is good, prohibiting all that is wrong. And here comes the most important part, and not fearing the criticism of the criticizers. There's a action now being called, it's called cancel culture. Cancel culture. If you're in the media or entertainment or something of a social nature, and you speak up for the known standards, the known human standards, then that corporate interest will cancel you. They will cancel your program. They will muzzle you. They will take you off of the air. They will shut down your operation. We don't fear the criticism of the criticizers. We stand on the known standards that have supported human life for eons, for centuries. Praise be to Allah. So all of that sweet water, it has its purpose. But the salt is needed also. Allah mentions a day when the salt has lost its savor, when the salt have lost its savor, when the salt no longer can extract the poison rot from out of human beings. They discard the salt. They discard what is right and what is wrong. They don't care. The salt has lost its savor. And we are in that day. Let me open up the mic. I believe this is Mark Shahid. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Kareem Hamid, and to your very astute radio listening audience there at AM 360 Radio. This is Mark Shahi from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah. I wanted to make a couple of comments on what the imam has said and where you stopped it at and some of the comments that you made. You know, Imam Muhammad said to us in class, he says that the Quran is commentary on scripture, and that the Quran makes commentary on scripture, and he said that the theme of the Quran is on scripture in terms of revelation, and it makes commentary on that. And it brought to mind when we were talking about the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast, and those who've been in Christianity, Bible scholars, or just learning Christianity, you know that that number in Christianity was 666, and it was called the mark of the beast. So as a student, you look at what the imam is saying, and you go to the Quran, Surah 6, Ayah 66, and then you go to the Quran in Surah 66, 6, all of them are 3 sixes. And in that, you'll find that Allah is addressing what had been said in previous scripture, in the scripture before. And we know that the mark of the beast was, as you just so eloquently articulated, that man is God, and that to be saved, you have to believe that Christ Jesus gave his life and shed his blood, and that will save you. So in Surah 6, Ayah 66, Allah is giving revelation to his Rasul, his messenger. You understand that you're not really, you're not responsible for them.
Excuse me, Mark, I've been informed I have 60 seconds before Imam.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe another time then.
Participating. Praise be to Allah.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah, we are grateful to all of you that participate in these study sessions. Each Saturday here on American Muslim 360, we ask you to tune in to the next broadcast preparing to make it in the land of plenty, hosted by our beloved Imam Delaysi Ummah. I leave you with the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all.